Hello.
Hi, is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Well, I ran across this story idea from my professor. I thought it was pretty interesting. I guess I never really thought about that before, how a poor diet can lead to substance abuse. I never even realized that.
Well, it's not so much that a poor diet will lead to substance abuse, but the right diet will help for the successful withdrawal and from substance abuse and lower the relapse rates from substance abuse. And indirectly, a poor diet does allow for substance abuse because people who are really into health, and they're working out all the time and eating all the right things, those people in general don't take drugs or drink a lot of excess alcohol. Because
Okay.
you know what I mean? Because they're real into how they look and how they feel, so they won't do it.
Okay, right. So how do the two correlate?
Well, first let me explain. The program that I founded is called NAMED Program, NAMED. And NAME stands for Nutritional Addiction Mitigation Eating and Drinking. So you could see. So you could see why I say named. It's a lot shorter. So it's called NAME Program or nameprogram.com. Anyhow, what we did in that program is we prepared special menus for the whole year for people that end up going into addiction or rehabilitation facilities for substance or alcohol abuse. But what we did with these menus is two main things. Number one is we made sure that the foods they eat do not stimulate their opiate receptors. And
I remember reading about that.
I
And
don't know
it
if
was.
you know, yeah, if you know what an opiate receptor is, but it's clusters of cells, of proteins really, that when they're stimulated, they secrete sort of like hormones, but it's chemicals that give the body cravings. And when we're addicted or used to taking certain substances, that's what it tells our body we want. So if we're used to taking cocaine or oxycodone or heroin, and we keep stimulating the opiate receptors, it releases a substance telling our body that we want more of that because we can't really distinguish the difference. So even when people go into a facility, which is very important, so they get the proper care and it's a controlled environment and they get the psychiatrist or psychologist to help them and exercise, it's important not to stimulate the opiate receptors because what a lot of people do when they're in these facilities is they switch from one, for lack of a better word, addiction to another. So you'll notice that a lot of people that are in a programs, they like 75% of them, and I don't know the real percentage, it's just you smoke tobacco, which stimulates the opiate receptors, but they just switched from one thing to another. And what I found through my research, and is well documented, is certain foods stimulate the opiate receptors, like sugar stimulates the opiate receptors. So you'll notice if you ever visit a friend in one of these facilities, and you always say, "Is there anything I could bring?" They'll always bring up like chocolates and candy and stuff like that, because the highs and lows they get from the sugar, which is indirectly from the insulin, their insulin mechanism going up and down, is sort of. I don't want to say it's like the same thing, but it sort of imitates the highs and lows they get from the drugs. So that's why the people do that. And there's several things that stimulate the opiate receptors. Sugar, gluten, sugar substitutes, except for stevia, a lot of dairy products, especially the milk dairy products. So our menus stay away from those. But besides that, they're very tasty and they're very nutritious. And we supply them directly to the facilities, the menus and the recipes. So during this month or so that the people are in a facility, they not only don't take the drug and they're getting counseling and exercise and hopefully the regular proper nutrition that they need, but they're also not stimulating the opiate receptors. So this way, when they leave, they don't run out and start taking the drug again, which unfortunately right now happens a very large percentage of the time, because the average right now in the United States for successful withdrawal is only about 13%.
Oh, wow. Okay. So is sugar, is that the only...
No, sugar is one. Gluten is one. Gluten is like wheat products. Sugar substitutes is another. Dairy products is another. Caffeine is another one. You'll notice a lot of the places that, you know, these addiction facilities and rehabilitation facilities, several of them don't have caffeine on campus. Some of them do. Nicotine, but none of them disallow nicotine because so many of the people smoke, they can't, you know, it becomes a business decision. But so what we do is we stay away from anything that will stimulate the opiate receptors. The next thing we do is almost everybody who is addicted to any substance, any, you know, heroin, oxycodone, prescription drugs, alcohol, they tend to have what's called inflammation internally, which, you know, it's not like a sprained ankle, but it's internal. And what that does is several things. Number one, it hurts things like Crohn's disease, like fibromyalgia, like arthritis. But as far as we're concerned, the big problem is it makes the insulin mechanism, which is what works with our sugar to utilize our sugar properly, it makes the insulin mechanism malfunction. And what that does is one of two things. It either causes huge cravings for sugar, which then stimulates the opiate receptors and starts the cycle over again, or it's totally broken down. It doesn't give you a craving for sugar, but it takes all the cells that are in your body and it tells it that there's a sugar deficit and it tells it to drop the sugar, which then stimulates the opiate receptors because all of a sudden we have all this sugar and it's causing these highs and lows and ups and downs in the insulin mechanism, which is causing the highs and lows in sugar, which I'm sure you've met people that have sugar problems. And they have to have something to eat every so often and things of that nature. It also hurts for people who have diabetes, especially diabetes type 2. So what we do is we make sure that our menus have a higher pH, and we do the same thing with the water, because what causes the inflammation is low pH in our body. And our pH, if you remember from school, is supposed to be 7. That's neutral.
Right, I do remember.
And in our bodies, it's supposed to be approximately neutral, and it's not. It's in most cases, it's low. So I try to raise it up back so it's neutral, and that'll get rid of the inflammation, which is causing all these problems, especially causing the insulin mechanism not to work. And that's the concept behind a named program. Besides that, you just want to have good, healthy nutrition, you know, enough proteins, enough fruits, enough vegetables. You want to work out, which most facilities have that in them. You want to talk with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And that's why I like working through the facilities. But once they finish, if you look at, I don't know if you went to my website, nameprogram.com, before the interview, but if you go to it and you go to In Recovery, once they leave the facility, I give them a code, and they could go and still use all my menus and all my stuff for free because the facility is paying the fee, you know, for the facility. But I let the people use it for free once they leave because I want to have a much lower relapse rate than what we have now in America. So, and I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who does that.
Cool. So what types of foods do you provide to not trigger their opiate resistance?
Okay, first of all, just, you know, I don't provide the foods, although sometimes I could recommend good places for them to buy the food. I provide the menus and the recipes, but the foods I provide are regular, healthy, all-natural foods, you know, that contain your proteins, complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, lots of fruits and vegetables, but I definitely stay away from sugar, especially simple sugars. I stay away from simple carbohydrates. I stay away from gluten. I stay away from most dairy products, especially milk-related dairy products, because those are the things that stimulate the opiate receptors. And, of course, I stay away from caffeine.
Okay.
if you look on my site, you could get a free week's worth of menus just to see it. And you'll see it's regular food. I just stay away from the things that I know are going to be harmful to people that have substance abuse problems.
Where is that on the nameprogram.com?
Uh-huh. NAMED program.com, and you look, it just says click here for a free week worth of things, and you click it, and they'll ask you your name and your email address, and then they'll email it to you right away, real pretty and full of colors and pictures.
Okay. Let me write that down. All right. Okay, so does this sort of mean that if you have a poor diet, you're more likely to abuse drugs?
Well, this is my thinking, and you sound fairly young, so I think you'll understand what I mean, because I think, much older. If you're really into health, and you're always trying to make sure you eat the right thing, and you're trying to make sure you work out every day, and you're trying to make sure that you keep your body in perfect shape, that old expression, you know, your body's a temple type thing, those type of people, in general, do not take drugs, and they don't abuse alcohol. Now, there's some exceptions to that, but by and large, those are the type of people who don't, you know, take drugs because, you know, they're real concerned about their body. They're concerned about how they feel and, you know, the shape that they're in. The people who don't care about that, who don't care about what they eat or working out and stuff like that, those people tend to be easier to sway and go along with the groups and peer pressure and things of that nature to take drugs. So it's not that, you know, this poor diet is going to make you take drugs, because that's not true. There's no scientific proof of that. But psychologically speaking, and I could just ask you the question, when you were in college, you had a certain amount of friends that were really into health, correct? Mm-hmm. You know, we used to call them the health nuts, that were always into working out and eating the right foods, correct?
Yeah, I knew a
okay.
few.
Okay. Did you ever see them take drugs? Or abuse drugs, I should say?
No.
Because they were too into their bodies and stuff like that. That's what I mean by it. So it's more psychological than a scientific. I haven't done a scientific study that said people that eat junk food are more likely to take drugs. But what I am saying is people that are really into health and wellness have a lower likelihood of taking drugs because they care so much about their health and their wellness and their body and things of that nature.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Does this, because I remember you said the types of substances, but does this include marijuana? Because marijuana is a type of substance where I don't think it affects your physical appearance that much. So would that be included?
It depends on what the person thinks, but marijuana will stimulate the opiate receptors. Mm-hmm. That's why they call it a gateway drug. So, and, you know, I know there's a couple states that have it legal and stuff, but marijuana will stimulate the opiate receptors and will give you urges to take more marijuana. Now, could you take marijuana and not affect your looks if you did it, you know, within reason? I'm sure, you know, that there's people that do that. I'm not an advocate for drugs of any type. I'm supposed to be real healthy, so I try not to take, you know, anything like that. So, I wouldn't say that, but yes, marijuana does stimulate the opiate receptors, and it does tell you to have more of that.
Okay. So is there an age group that's more susceptible to that type of study?
There's not an age group that's more susceptible to having their opiate receptors stimulated. Now, we tend to experiment more, obviously, in high school. Now, it seems the later years of even junior high and college than you do. I'm 60 years old, you know. Me and my friends don't go around and get high on the weekends. You know, that stopped, you know, when we were teenagers, of course. So there's age groups, obviously, that experiment more and do things more. But in terms of scientifically speaking, an opiate receptor is an opiate receptor, and the same things will stimulate it for somebody who's, you know, older or somebody who's younger. It's just that we're in that frame of mind to experiment more when we're in our teens and maybe early 20s than we are than when we're 50, 60, 70 years old. No, so just think of it. How many 70-year-old junkies do you know?
Personally, not.
You know? But you never even see them or hear of them.
Yeah.
So,
Unless they've been already doing it for their whole life.
That's right. That's right. And then if they're doing it that long, that probably didn't meet with a good end. But not from a scientific point of view, to answer your question, is somebody more susceptible? They're just more susceptible because that age group of, say, 14 to early 20s tends to experiment more and try things more and be more bold and rash than when you get older and have a steady job and possibly a family and children, or when you're very young and you're still under the care of your parents.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't give you a real scientific answer, but I figure a straightforward answer is better.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. I kind of had this question, but maybe I know the answer to it. I was going to ask, could a dietitian that works with these types of things replace rehab, or is that not a good idea to do?
No. See, the using my program as an example, and I have registered dietitians that work with me, and I'm a PhD in nutritional science. I don't think I could replace a rehab. That's not my job. I think it's very important to have counseling and to speak to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I think it's important to have exercise. I think it's important to have good nutrition. I think it's very important to have amino acid therapy, which I recommend, which is, you know, real specific amino acids that will help build up the person nutritionally so they feel better nutritionally and then eventually physically. I think that's very important. After they did that for a while, then I think they could keep doing it, and that's why I give them the code so they could keep using this type of food and diet and the high pH water and the diets that don't stimulate the opiate receptors and are of a higher pH. But I don't do it for people before they went to rehab because I think the rate would be too low, and then that wouldn't be helpful. We already have a low rate as it is. I want to get it up into the 20s and 30s. I don't want it to drop below the dismal rate it is now of 13% success rate.
Okay, right. So does your program have better success rates?
Yes, but only if they go through a facility.
Okay.
If they go through a facility, the initial success rates, and if you talk to like some of the sleep clinics I'm working with and some other places, my estimate or what I would wager on, because I'm not allowed to make claims yet, is my rate will be in the mid-20s, and the overall national rate is about 13%. As a matter of fact, I just spoke to a radio station in Indianapolis, and their rate was below 10% of successful withdrawal. So, but you're really not allowed to make this specific claim until you've been in business and you have documentation for 3 years, which I don't. But that's what I feel. I would wager on it, but I can't swear to it or make the claim to it, if that's a fair way of saying it.
Okay. But from the businesses that you do work with, that's your success rate?
That's what we feel that we're hitting and will be hitting, yes.
How long have you been in business?
Well, I've been doing it for a while, and I've been a nutritional scientist for years and years, but I just got the patent in July.
Okay.
So that's why I'm hesitant to say, oh, yeah, we do 29%. You know, that's not true. I'm seeing good success. The people who try it and like it, and the directors are giving me great feedback and stuff, and that's what I feel, and that's what all the research shows, but like I said, for real numbers, you want 2-3 years, and I don't have that yet.
Okay. Well, all right, cool. It's coming, though. So you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where we'll end up.
Okay. So you don't really have any statistics yet?
They're too short. You can't, you know, the government doesn't want statistics. And for the 3 months they've done it, you know, it's not long enough. But like I said, all the feedback I'm getting from everybody. I feel that the estimate or the guesstimate that I'm making of being in the low to mid to, if I'm lucky, high 20s should be a fair estimate. And time will tell.
Okay, cool. So how can this program help to prevent relapses? I guess you kind of already answered that question.
Well, first of all, because they're used to, for at least a month in most cases, not having their opiate receptors stimulated, when they leave, they're getting they're feeling good for other reasons, because they're feeling better physically, because they're feeling better nutritionally, because they have more energy, because they could do more push-ups or run longer or do the bicycle longer, and things of that nature. That's what we find works better. Plus, like I said, if you go to my site and you go to In Recovery, it's just up on the top. All they have to do is give us their name, first name, last name, the facility they're leaving or just left, and their email address, and then I send them a code so they could keep getting the recipes and access to the water and things like that if they want. And between those two things, it should help lower the relapse rate.
Okay. I'm in North Carolina. Are there any programs that you work with in North Carolina?
Well, what you do is, if you just go to the site, nameprogram.com, there's places there to contact us, and you just contact it, and it'll tell them the nearest facilities that they could use.
Okay.
Because I don't know them by heart.
Okay. Well, is that something I could ask an employee?
No. Well, if you just go to the my site, nameprogram.com, and it'll say contact, and ask the question. And if you ask the question, what's the nearest facility to us, they'll answer you.
Okay, I see. Okay. And this may be one of my last questions. How can this program best help, like, college students?
Well, first of all, if college students learn more and more about it and they start getting more involved in leading a healthy lifestyle, the problem on the college campuses will go down some anyhow, because the more people that are into healthy living, the less people that are into drugs. So that's the biggest way it'll help. And they could go to my regular website, which is DR for doctor, drkeithcantor.com, and it shows the correlation between nutrition and just about every major disease, because the CDC says 75% of all chronic disease is nutrition-related. And as they learn more and more of that and they get more involved into healthy living, that'll help the drug problem.
Okay, well, I think that's all that I have for you at this moment.
Okay, well, if you need anything at all, I'm sure you have my email address. Just call me. And when will this come out in the newspaper, do you know?
It should be coming out either in our upcoming issue or our third issue. Our upcoming issue, well, it's supposed to come out on the 28th. We'll probably come out next Monday. And if not that one, the next issue is on...
Like the 7th?
Is it the 7th?
I'm just guessing. But around that.
I don't even have that paper in front of me. Hold on, one second. Let me find it. On the 26th of October.
Okay. Yes. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Your name's Sheridan?
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks, Sheridan. I appreciate it.
And let me make sure I have your right email. Could you say it for me?
Sure. It's Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at D-R for doctor, Keith Cantor, K-A-N-T-O-R, .com.
Keith at doc, at drkeithcancer.com?
Correct, but it's not doctor, it's just DR. You know, the abbreviation for doctor.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me on the, you know, or in the newspaper. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have a nice weekend.
You have a good one, too.
Thanks. Bye.